That was Macy Gray off her 2016 release, Stripped. Macy Gray will be one of the performers at this year's Telluride Jazz Festival. You're tuned into Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Festival season in Colorado is right around the corner. In the KVNF listening area, we can enjoy live music all summer long in almost every town our signal serves. We've got the Montrose Music Series, the Ridgeway Concert Series, the Mountain Air Music Series in Ouray, Pickin' in the Park in Paonia, and multiple festivals in Telluride. Over the next few weeks, I'll be giving you a preview of what some of these concert series and festivals have to offer. Today, we're going to hear from Steve Gumbel, president of SBG Productions. SBG produces the Telluride Blues and Brews Festival, Durango Blues Train, and now they've added the Telluride Jazz Festival to their roster, which takes place August 4th through the 6th. Steve founded SBG Productions in 1994, and now in its 24th year, Blues and Brews attracts over 9,000 people per day. Here Steve talks about the festival's humble beginnings and what got him interested in producing music festivals.
You know, we've come a long way. I think our first year in 1994 was called the Telluride Brewers Festival. And I think we had two porta potties and a tent. So we have 150 porta potties now.
That's the indication of growth.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the way I got into the festival business, I owned a liquor store here in Telluride, and I was friends with the owners of New Belgium Brewing, and I kept bouncing the idea off of them, and they said, "Yeah, you should really have a beer festival." And that was right at the beginning of the craft brewery craze here in Colorado. So my timing was great. So in 1994, we did this. It took me a couple of weeks to put it together. Invited some breweries, and hoped that people would show up, and were hoping for 500 people to come to the festival, and over 1,000 came. So immediately, that's not easy to do in this day and age. But back then, there weren't a lot of beer festivals. There weren't a lot of music festivals, and it really wasn't a music festival in 1994. But that was probably the biggest surprise. We were sort of like, whoa, people are into this. And we donated all the money to charity, to public radio, to our public radio station.
Kodo.
KOTO. So, yeah, Kodo. So it was great. It made me feel good. It was easy to do. But it's now grown into, a year-round job for full-time employees. We never tried to jump into a big festival right out of the gate. So we grew organically each year and cautiously and grew it to what it is today. So, the growth has surprised me as well. But I think we have a good product and people love it. And 1997 is when we really started introducing blues music and changed the name to Telluride Blues and Brews Festival.
You know, part of what you have to do is deal with, unforeseen problems, is my guess, like weather forcing you to shut things down or issues with negotiation that maybe go wrong. How do you handle those types of things in terms of just your attitude and approach?
I guess you have to go with the flow. There's not much you can do about the weather. And over the years, for Blues and Brews anyway, we've really sort of, people know it can be sunny and 75 degrees, or it could possibly snow. And it just amazes me every year if we do have inclement weather, and we haven't had it, knock on wood, for the last 3 years. But we do every now and then, but it just amazes me how resilient people are. They're out there. They're gear. They have the right gear. So I always like that saying that the weather's not crappy, your gear is crappy. So people seem to be very, they're prepared. I think the biggest curveball ever thrown at us was really 9/11. Was a Tuesday, and the festival was starting Friday, and it really didn't know what to do. Do we cancel? And started talking to musicians like Warren Haynes, who said, "I'm coming, I need to play." Taj Mahal, same thing. He's like, I don't care if there's not a PA, I'm going to get on that stage and play, because that's what, you know, that's what I need, and I think we all need it. So, you know, first few days were like, what do we do? And we finally said, okay, thought about where blues came from, you know, back in the slavery days, and people sang to heal themselves, and 9/11, you know, the whole world, the whole country needed to be healed. So I felt like it was a good thing to continue on, but it was, you know, there was no planes flying. We had to lease a jet to get James Brown here.
Wow.
You know, I didn't walk into the festival until maybe the third band was on the stage, because we were just scrambling, trying to get bands here, trying to replace bands that couldn't get here, those sort of things. So, you know, that was probably the biggest challenge of my career, for sure. But people still talk about that weekend and the friendships that were made, the friendships that still exist to this day because of how much people just came together, and all those barriers of class and everything were completely at ground level, and everyone hugged each other. And as far as, you know, booking bands, there's always, we had ZZ Top, you know, the day after we announced them a few years ago, they canceled because they got a tour with Tom Petty. So, you know, things happen, and you just, there's not much you can do about it. You just put your nose to the grindstone and start making phone calls and booking bands. So
right.
It's a long process. It's not easy by any means.
Right. Well, you talk about how friendships were made in that festival that was right after 9/11. There's a lot of friendship between the festival organizers and the artists and the press. To me, every time I go to that festival, it feels like a reunion a little bit. And you definitely have some artists that return. You always have new artists, but for instance, Anders Osborne is always there. How did you develop these relationships with some of these artists, and how did they become friends of the festival the way they are?
Well, yeah, I'm super proud of that. What you just said is the friendships that are here, and I think that's what makes us stand apart from some other festival. It's everyone from top to bottom, you know, in a sense has ownership in this festival. They've been coming from the beginning. Or they found it and fell in love with it and come every year. And it's the same with the artists, and it's the same with my staff. It's just, I consider everyone here family, including everyone who attends, who's attended from the beginning. They're very important to me. You know, but as far as, you know, someone like Anders and I have been friends since he started coming here. And I discovered Anders in New Orleans many, many years ago, and he sang to my soul, and always has, and I knew that he would be perfect for Blues and Brews, and have loved being a part of his career and watching him grow. You know, it's just the friendship that has developed and the loyalty. He's loyal to us, and he's loyal to me, and I'm loyal to him. He's my Sam Bush.
Yep.
Blues and Brews, he's, Sam Bush and Telluride Bluegrass, you know, he's kind of been there from the early point, and so is Anders, and always will be as long as he's healthy and available.
You and me, baby, since we were young, always had a your faith in the stars that made that decision. Everything is gonna be alright. Your love just got better. You and me, baby, side by side. Your love will last forever. And we were born to die together.
Born to Die Together from Anders Osborne, performing at this year's Telluride Blues and Brews Festival. I had a chance to speak with this festival's director, Steve Gumbel, by phone earlier this month. One of your primary roles is as a talent buyer, so you're booking the acts for these festivals. Where are you finding your artists?
You know, it's a great question, and I'm in a great position. I listen to music all day long, every day, at my office. You know, I'll find stuff. I'll put on Spotify and put an artist on and go to their radio station and see who's playing. And if it resonates with me, I dig in a little bit deeper. I refer to my staff, who also are music fanatics, and they are always listening and coming up with new ideas and fresh new artists. I listen to friends, and I listen to people walking down the street who I also attend a lot of music festivals and conferences. The band Ranky Tanky, who's playing at Telluride Jazz Festival this year, their history, their backstory is amazing. And I was at New York City Association for Performing Arts Presenters, APAP conference, and came across these guys and knew that I wanted them here in Telluride. And since then, they're getting picked up on all kinds of jazz festivals and music festivals in general. And so the combination of everything, I'm an open book. I'm always open to suggestions. So I listen to everyone and everybody, and I decide ultimately what I like and don't like.
And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Steve Gumbel. He's president of SBG Productions, the festival production company that produces Telluride Blues and Brews, and now also the Telluride Jazz Festival. Let's talk a little bit about the lineup for the Jazz Festival, which is the first one that's coming up. It's coming up August 4th through the 6th in Telluride. You have Bootsy Collins, you have Macy Gray, Mavis Staples, Cha Wa, which I just saw at the French Quarter Festival and loved, Lee Fields. Let's talk about some of these artists.
Well, you know, it's our first year producing the Jazz Festival, and it's a 40. This is our 41st year. It'll be my first year at the helm. The Telluride Society for Jazz was very gracious in inviting us to come on board and produce the event for them. I kind of looked at the festival at 41 years old and said, okay, it's a small, intimate festival, and it's not even kind of not really realizing its full potential. And what do we do to sort of make jazz great again? here in Telluride, anyway. So I felt that I really needed the book in a little bit more broader appeal, for lack of a better term. I think sometimes jazz intimidates people. I know it does me, and I'm like, I'm not sure, am I supposed to like this? I'm not, you know. And so I wanted to kind of book in a way that it will be appealing for true jazz aficionados, and also for people that just like music and may not necessarily go out of their way to listen to jazz. But everything that we've booked is, to me, you know, appeals to a wide audience. And so that's why, you know, you're seeing someone like Bootsy Collins, who's probably not, you know, your typical headliner at a jazz festival, but it will be fun, you know, and Macy Gray, and, you know, actually Macy Gray is coming with a jazz band. So I think that's going to be very cool to see Macy Gray kind of doing some jazz standards, you know, and Mavis is just iconic, and she could play anywhere and I would be happy. And she's played for Blues and Brews as well. Fatso from Colombia, South America, coming up for this festival.
Here's the song Brain Candy from Fatso.
Are you comfortable with your ordinary life? Isn't there anything we ought to do? Love out all the people who mess with you. Now tell me, is there any excuse for the way they manipulate me and you? Now tell me, is there any excuse for the way they manipulate me and you? What's your grasp on what's genuine? Doesn't it scare you? The world's truth is but still a lie. Pick a song. Tell me, is there any excuse for the way they manipulate me and you? Now tell me, is there any excuse for the way they manipulate me and you? Now tell me, is there any excuse for the way they manipulate me and you? I'll say no.
That was Fat So, one of the performers at this year's Telluride Jazz Festival. I spoke with Festival Director Steve Gumbel by phone about this year's lineup.
I'm booking the Jazz Festival very similar in the way that I approach blues and brews, in that we are by no means, and I'll be the first one to admit it, a traditional blues festival. We've had the Flaming Lips and far from a blues band, but at the core of the festival, at the core of every musician at Blues and Brews, they, in some way, have been influenced by blues. And I'm doing the same thing with jazz. Bands that are appearing like Fatso, like Lanky Tanky, which I spoke of earlier, all have a base or a connection to jazz. And so it's been fun for me because I can book things that I would never book at Blues and Brews. And yet I feel are very worthwhile being on the jazz stage and don't think it's going to disappoint the true jazz lovers. And I think people that aren't quite as familiar with jazz are going to be like, wow, this is pretty cool. So I sort of equate it, like when as a parent, you make a smoothie and you throw some kale in there for your kids so they don't know it. They don't know it's kale. They don't know it's healthy for you. So I'm going to throw some jazz in there for people that don't quite understand or enjoy jazz. And hopefully they'll walk away and say, wow, that was pretty cool. I didn't realize that that was jazz.
We also know about Davina and the Vagabonds here because they came and played one of our little festivals a couple of years ago. So I was excited to see them, you know, making their way to a bigger stage.
Yep. I, you know, I've always been a fan of Zena. I saw her actually at a blues competition in Memphis. And to me, she was the freshest thing in blues. But she kind of fits into that crossover into jazz, you know, and because she's not a true blues artist, she's sort of a jazz blues artist, and so I've been wanting to book her at either jazz or blues and brews for a long time, and so it's great. I think she's going to be a perfect example of the direction we're taking the jazz festival, and she's a lot of fun, and that's what we're trying to do is book, you know, danceable, fun bands with a jazz influence. I really recommend to go in and listen to someone like Miles Mosley, who played in Kamasi Washington's band. He's blowing up. Vaude and the Villains, who are going to be at a vaudeville show with dancers and costumes and Mardi Gras Indian bands with Chawa. It's very diverse, and take a minute to explore, and I think you'll be pretty hooked on what we've booked for 2017. Look at the history of Ranky Tanky and Gullah culture, the culture I didn't even know about that exists off the islands of South Carolina.
Wow.
Steeped in African history.
Here's Ranky Tanky.
Who is the greatest?
We are the greatest.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Past tense.
Yeah.
Even tense.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Old lady come from Bostar. Had two hands and a rooster. Rooster died. The old lady cried. That's no need eggs like she used to. Old lady come from Bostar. Had two hands and a rooster. Rooster died. The old lady cried. That's no need eggs like she used to. Oh, my, look so. Oh, my, look so. Who been here since I've been gone? Two little boys with the blue caps on. Leaning on a hickory stick. Papa gonna slap them good. Pain in my head. Pain in my heart.
That was Ranky Tanky, one of the bands performing at this year's Telluride Jazz Festival. I've been talking to Steve Gumbel. He's putting on the Telluride Jazz Festival, taking place August 4th through the 6th. And then you can catch the Blues and Brews Festival. And that is coming up September 15th through the 17th. The headliners on that one are Bonnie Raitt, Steve Winwood, Taj Mahal and Keb Moe, Anders Osborne, of course, and many other great musicians. Chicano Batman, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
Thank you so much, Steve.
You bet.
And we're going to go out with Miles Mosley, another performer at Telluride Jazz Fest. This song is called Abraham.
Of Jerusalem, I got my shield, I got my sword, forged from Egyptian gold. I'm feared, I haven't cried in years. Mediocrity is everywhere.
150. I can hit a target that disappears. Keep a side eye trained on Lazarus. I broke a rock to the side of the tomb. Dig it, man. Kaboom. Brothers, please stand up. I got